Yeah, this is just like Oprah.
This is it. This is it.
Yeah. But, you know, a few more people in Oprah.
Yes, yes.
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for being on the podcast the YouTube show.
Of course, my pleasure. It's an honor, seriously.
Aw, thanks. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with your childhood. Well, tell us everything that happened there. Now, let's start from, you know, where you're from and then how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So I'm from, born and raised in New York. Mm-hmm. So like Staten Island, Queens, Frolics, Brooklyn, Long Island. I'm mostly Long Island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know, just like I feel like a Queens girl at heart.
Oh, yeah?
With like a flavor of like definitely Staten Island in there. But yeah, New York, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, thanks for that tidbit. Yeah. So, okay, so you went from Staten Island to Queens, mainly, you know, raised in Queens. Mm-hmm. And then you went to school. What did you go to school for?
So I originally went to school for pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, as a result of like pressure from the parents and like...
They pressured you to become a pharmacist?
I guess it was just like, you know, inception, I would say, from like pretty young. Mm-hmm. It's a safe career. Mm. It's, you know, health related. It's never... The industry is recession proof and... Mm-hmm. Things like that. So I was like compliant because I was a good Asian daughter. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me do that. And so I went in there and I quickly found that I just didn't really like that industry. But yeah, so then I went into L'Oreal and I just felt like the opportunities were endless and I could go any route and... I liked, you know, it was like glamorous, you know, you're in the city, Hudson Yards. Mm-hmm. So, it was fun. It was definitely fun. It was a good experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I was learning more about myself.
Mm. Like, what do you mean by that? Did something spur that to be more introspective?
I think, I guess my expectations working at L'Oreal were very different than the reality of it. And I think I romanticized it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do great things in my role and then, like, you know, like work my way through, you know, not the ladder per se, but like maybe different departments, like really learn the business, like holistically. Like, that excited me that I would. Learn the L'Oreal way, right?
And like really be like mentored and nurtured and kind of taken under their wings in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But in my actual role, I kind of felt stuck. And that was because I felt like, oh, I've been doing display project management for a while. I was getting bored. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, of course, there's always things to learn and improve on, but it felt like I was kind of going backwards into like my first role. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I set up a lot of coffee days and like met, you know, interesting people, and it was interesting and exciting, but I started to feel like pigeonholed into my role and I felt like I couldn't navigate through.
So when you first realized you're feel like, you know, I guess feeling pigeonholed and stuck, what was then going through your mind?
Oh, then I was like listening to all these podcasts and self-help books. And
What was the answer you were looking for? Or what was the question you were asking, maybe?
I think it was like, is this my life? What do I want? Like, what is my... you know, passion. What do I care about? What do I value? Like, really questioning myself, like all my values, who I am as a person. Just a lot of like questioning myself and what I enjoy and how I operate. How I actually became more introverted, I think, in that role. And not introverted because that's like, yeah, not quite that, but more, I guess, more reserved, I should say. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was more reserved, and I don't know. Yeah, it was.
Were you questioning your values and like asking questions about who you were because your maybe your life or your day to day feelings didn't. Was it just like the feeling was disconnected? Like, what about being pigeonholed then spurred those types of questions?
Like, I don't know. Okay, so I didn't feel like, you know, like for instance, you know, it was important that I was in work by 8:30 or 9, and like lunch was like a set time. Yeah. I wasn't used to that in my previous role, so I was like, I don't like this, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt my freedom was kind of taken away.
Yeah.
I felt that pressure to like always be on time, which is very important. Like, I really believe being on time is important, but when it's like forced upon me mm-hmm. and it wasn't my choice, mm-hmm. that's when I'm like, no, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it was hard. It was like in those little ways, it was hard. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, just following like rules like mm-hmm. is kind of difficult for me. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, like that made me kind of question like, am I a bad person? Like, oh my God, mm-hmm. why can't I mm-hmm. just, you know, get to work on time and be ready to go and like, you know, be okay with just following the rules mm-hmm. and, you know, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It made me like kind of question who I was and what I'm about. Am I doing the right thing? A lot of moral questions, which was
because you just felt like you weren't measuring up. Is that why?
Not measuring up. I felt like I was doing a good job, right? Yeah. But the I'm just so relational, and when I felt like, if I'm not feeling like, you know, I guess affirmed, appreciated, or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, I question, like, am I doing a good job? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to do this?
Right.
Like, you know, and obviously there are times of clarity when I was like, yeah, I'm crushing it. I'm doing mm-hmm. well. Like, I'm learning more. Like, I'm trying to learn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of moral questions and yeah, I found myself just disconnecting from my work. Like I had two separate people at that point. Like there was a work Sarah and then a, you know, home real Sarah, and that mm-hmm. I didn't like. Mm. Yeah.
What were the key differences?
I guess I felt like I needed to always be on at work.
Mm.
You know, yeah, I don't know why. That's probably just something I put on myself. Just I guess the pressure of that I just put on myself pretty much, yeah.
I imagine it's not something you put on yourself because a lot of what I hear you saying right now is what I hear commonly from other friends or coworkers about like the time thing. It was so funny you said that because when I worked at a place where it was like that too, where you had to strictly be there at either, it was same thing. It was like 8:30 or 9. There were like two different groups of people. Mm-hmm. Like people really struggled with that, you know? And then there's, you know, lots of other companies where you kind of come in at your own time. And so, you know, whatever the culture, the way it's shifted, where people want to come in when they want to come in, just get their work done kind of a thing. And I think a lot of people do struggle with the, you got to be at your desk by 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and then you're whatever, you know, like that punctuality mm-hmm. thing. And then the always on, you know, mm-hmm. the anxiety of like, I got to always check my emails, mm-hmm. always check my Slacks, mm-hmm. make sure I don't miss anything. I just feel like so much of that is so common. Mm-hmm. And maybe what you're realizing in that moment is this how I want to live my life, because what you're saying is like, you know, is, you said, is this my life? Mm. You know, is there another way to live maybe? Yeah. Is that a little bit of some of the, like, the thoughts you were having?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
What did you find, I guess, during this time of like self-reflection and discovery, like what did you identify were your values?
I think autonomy was definitely one, obviously. So autonomy, you know, taking ownership of, you know, my own work, my own, you know, being responsible for myself instead of having to feel like I owe this to someone else, or I'm doing it for someone else. It's like, no, I'll do my work and do the best job because that's what I'm about.
Right.
Not because you told me to. Mm-hmm. Not that anyone explicitly said that to me, but so I value autonomy. I value freedom. Mm. You know, I value like relational, like relationships. I think I'm very like emotional. Mm-hmm. So I realize like I like to connect with people, like before, I guess, working together and collaborating together. Like I want to, you know, get to know each other and like vibe as human beings. Yeah. Like, was that so much to ask? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you can't always do that. People are, you know, people are busy. People are on the go. People have meetings to go to. And it's not always about like, you know, getting to know the person you're working with, which I just, you know, I feel like that was hard for me to accept and like adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. This isn't the job that you left though, right? L'Oreal?
So after L'Oreal, there was another,
Right.
There's another, I worked for an agency that,
So what was your experience like moving from L'Oreal to this agency?
So agency life, I've always heard from like my marketing friends, it's fast paced, it's very demanding. And I was like, okay, interesting. But you know, it's Corona time, so we're working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I feel like I'll have more energy because I'm not commuting as much.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition was, it was interesting because agency life, especially when it's new business, it's like there's a lot of adjustment period, a lot of learning what the client wants. And because I was the client before, it's like, you know, trying to, I guess, like connect the two worlds in a way where it's like weird because you're a part of this family and then now you're not. And so people kind of, the relationships kind of change, the dynamics change. And that to me is kind of sad, right? Mm. It's like, no, we're human beings again, yet again. And like, why does the relationship have to change? You know, like the supplier side life is difficult because you have to please the client. That's just what it is. You have to get it done, like on time, regardless of any excuses. Like the client can be late. Like, trust me, like I was on both sides, so I know like the client can be late, but it's not the client's fault ever.
Right.
And that's just a known thing. And I expected that. And I know that. But I think it was just like a startup life. Feeling and startup life, I guess, is very like you have to wear so many different roles, be on point all the time, you know. And it's interesting when I say that out loud, it sounds like I would like that because I like variety, I like different, you know, challenges. Mm. I don't like the same mundane thing, but within that role, it was mundane to me because it was still displays, it was still the same kind of BS that I was dealing with when I was internal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just harder because I was external kind of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I lost authority, I guess. That's what it was. Mm. Yeah. It was, I wasn't as, I didn't feel as like like this is what it's gonna be. Like, even though like this is what I recommend, and this is how we're gonna execute it. Because you know, as a client, this is what I recommend. This is how it's gonna pretty much go. Mm-hmm. Whereas on, you know, like the supplier agency side, it's yes.
Well, okay. Just like, just tell me what to do. I'll do it. Kinda, right? Yeah. Like you lost any sort of voice and authority in the space because it's like, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do at the end of the day.
But but then I can't like, but then that's, that's rough to swallow and accept. So
what about that?
Like, fine, I'll just do what you want me to do.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Like,
You're like, no. me.
Yeah.
So, what was the, like, what do you remember the day-to-day feeling was like?
Oh, it was rough. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Monday mornings, we had, like, a huge team meeting within the agency side because we needed a pep talk to get into each week.
Because everybody else felt the same way.
Right.
Did you ever talk, did you guys ever, like, talk to each other, like, yo, are you feeling this too? And
yes,
so what were those, what were those conversations like? Did that not help? Or I don't know,
people would always ask, like, was it this crazy when you were internal? And I'm like, not quite. It was crazy, but it's a different kind of crazy and a different level of crazy, I guess. But yeah, we would definitely, like, within the team, we would all, like, try to, you know, we would talk and vent and like try to figure things out together. There's a lot of new learnings and teaching, you know, training my teammates, you know, things like that, the way like L'Oreal operates and just, you know, kind of tidbits like that. But yeah, like for, you know, since day one, I think, because I actually came on board because my previous team from my L'Oreal role, she had quit that role in the agency side.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took her role and, you know, she had kind of, you know, given me the lowdown and like her own situation and why she had to leave, which didn't like scare me off at first.
What did
at
she
all.
Say?
Well, hers was a little more personal. But yeah, it's like new business. So it's going to be very, you know,
kind of like the usual that you hear, like, this is hard.
You hear it, yeah.
It's agency side, you know, and you're like, okay, I...
Sure, like, I'm ready for the challenge, like, let's do this.
Right, right.
So it's like, yes, I went in, I'm going to do this, I'm working, and after a while, I'm realizing, like, oh, is this going to get any better? And so I think, you know, the agency was great at pivoting. I loved that part because they were very nimble in that way. And so we pivoted, we restructured, and everyone was like, this is going to be way better. And it took a while to get to that restructuring.
Roles and responsibilities being pivoted?
Okay. Yes, which was huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. So, so then we pivoted and these new roles... I was excited because I was like, oh, this is like a more marketing heavy, it kind of had a sales vibe to it, which I was somewhat used to. But yeah, so.
Which also I'm sure was refreshing on like your other job where you felt pigeonholed and like, I can't move. And it's like, oh, this place is like moving quickly and we can change roles and stuff.
So it did feel like, oh, okay, there's hope. Let's get through this. The leadership was strong. And I was like, wow, I'm motivated. Like they're great. So
you're a big butt coming,
but you knew it, you called it. So it's just, it's tough because, you know, like, you know, you feel like a family, right? Like when you're in a new team, you know, there's a lot of family talk.
In corporate world.
I know. There's a lot of family talk and, you know, it,
dude, was there a recurring phrase that they would use?
Well, we're just in a swirl, but we're going to, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Because it was one hell of a swirl. So, but, yeah, like, the family talk was good for a while, but it's like, I don't know. Like, there was a point when it started feeling very hopeless. And I was, and then it was like my mental health was suffering, my physical health was suffering.
Why did it start feeling hopeless?
Because I felt like things weren't going to get better. Like, it felt like week after week, we were having the same troubles, like hurdles, butting heads with, you know, the client sometimes, yeah. which is like, you know, that's, mm-hmm. you don't want to do that. Right. But it was getting to that point. And
so it's like hope yeah. lifted and then nothing happens, like, ah. Oh. And then hope lifted, yeah. nothing happens. And then enough of that, then you're just like, okay,
yeah.
it's never going to change, kind of a...
That's kind of, yeah, that's yeah. where I was at. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever have these types of conversations with your direct supervisor?
Oh, everyone was... I don't want to speak for everyone, but we were all aware that of this cycle. Like, we would all have these
your
discussions...
Your direct supervisor.
With my direct supervisor, and I had three because roles kept changing.
Oh, wow.
So within that small, short period, mm-hmm. I had three supervisors, and they were all incredibly, like, they were hustling. And it was like, that's what kind of kept me going, mm-hmm. was like, they're working hard. They are also balancing mm-hmm. families and, you know, work-life balance. Mm. So I was like, okay, they're doing it. Like, I can mm-hmm. do it. And so mm-hmm. I was following their lead in that yeah. sense. But yeah, like a lot, like I said, you know, questioning my morals, my values, my health was suffering. And so, I recognized, like, I need to advocate for myself, because mm. I would say yes, yes, yes. Oh, I could not say no. Mm. Like, when they asked me, Sarah, like, you know, can you help out with this? Mm-hmm. Can you, you know, take on this, mm-hmm. and for me it sounded exciting, because mm-hmm. it's like, ooh, you know, you sure, like, mm-hmm. it's something, like, again, like, I like the variety mm-hmm. of it, but on top of, like, what I was managing, and I just didn't know how to say no. Yeah,
but there were times you wanted to say no.
There were times I knew I should have said mm-hmm. no, and I didn't, like, one thing is, like, first I didn't want to, like, let them down. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like, you know what? I have the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't gauge it well, is what I should say. Like, I didn't gauge my bandwidth.
Your bandwidth.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I guess I could do it. Like, yeah. I can do this. I can do anything.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of my yeah. internal voice. I can handle anything. Let's go. Let's do this. Yeah. So,
did you also feel like that mm-hmm. type of I can handle anything comes from, you know, kind of what you were talking about earlier about, you know, I'm living the New York life. I'm going to lunches. We're having business meetings. Mm. And it's just like, this is what I should be like as a New York corporate worker. Mm. Like, I can handle all this, take on all these projects.
Yeah.
Did it ever feel like that?
Yeah, I bet. Yes. I'm going to say that it's like this, I guess it's like a persona that I was trying to adopt. Like, yes, yeah. I am, you know, about this life, this, yeah. you know, hustle culture mm-hmm. and, you know.
Yeah, I only say yeah. that because I think I feel some of that too at work, where mm-hmm. it's just like this unspoken expectation of, you know, needing to be, like, as much as they'll say, like, hey, when you need help, raise your hand. And mm. it's like almost like, you know, like, that's what they say. But expectation is that. Reality is I need to, you know, hustle, be productive, and, like, prove my worth. And then so I can, like, then move up to the next level. And, like, this is what the work grind is about, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's, like, part of sometimes what I feel, which when that I would feel afraid to say no, or like, then if I say no, who's going to do it? And then, like, yes. then this other person has to do it, and then they're going to think, oh, because I couldn't handle it.
Yes.
So
yes,
then,
exactly.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, if I can't handle it, then I'm not, like, a good employee, or mm-hmm. I'm not holding, you know, I'm not, like, you know, holding down my own mm-hmm. at the very least, mm-hmm. which is kind of, like, really toxic self-talk, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, same, you know, thought process there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you're experiencing all of this, the hope, the hopelessness, mm. to then, like, am I good enough? like, what is the dialogue that's kind of happening inside your brain or in your mind and heart?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, it was back and forth. I felt like bipolar because I was just like, no, I can get through this. Mm. And then, but then, like, maybe a minute later, like, a meeting later, it's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I would feel defeated. Like, what am I doing here? Like, you know, I felt like these, you know, we're not going to, like, this is not getting better. Like, I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. It's not getting better. I don't see improvement. I'm not seeing, like, that glimmer of hope. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. There were moments when I was like, wow, okay. There'd be, like, a moment in a big meeting where there's, like, leadership and C-suite people mm-hmm. making decisions. And, you know, I'll say one thing and, like, someone will affirm me. And it's like, there's hope. Okay, people mm-hmm. are listening. Mm. Like, okay, we're getting traction. Right. So those tiny moments would feed me through a day, a week, whatever, you know?
Right.
But it wasn't, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. It's like eating a crumb and, like, totally. Running on a crumb. Like,
that's a great visual, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm, like, understanding something about your experience here, because back to what you're saying, how you're a very relational person. Yeah. And obviously you value people, value the human experience. Mm-hmm. And just what you said now, you just said, just to be heard, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what at the core of every human just wants to be heard and seen. And, you know, I think in corporate, like, considered, like, if I, you know, am struggling, or maybe if I have an opinion about something, I just want at least consideration. But if you're just, they're just, like, doing their thing, just tell me what to do. Like, that gets grating for a person, because a person isn't built to just be a robot and, like, churn out and just, like, produce, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Does that sound in line with, like, some of your experience a bit, or is that reaching?
Yeah. No. I agree with that, because it was at the end of the day, right? Like, it's about getting the work done, the mm-hmm. job done, these projects completed, and, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's about that. And so, a lot of times, like, the relational aspect is, you know, kind of, like,
secondary.
There was just, like, all right, let's just get it done. Let's just get it done kind of feeling.
Yeah. But you know what's so funny, though? Like, even though, yes, like, at the end of the day, the business has to be viable, has to be profitable, and, you know, the business is there to, you know, whether it's to sell a product or a service or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. And a component of businesses are the people and the employees. And you'll hear that one, what's the saying? Like, you know, well, at the end of the day, it's business, and business has to produce, and we're here to do work. Mm. On the other hand, on the people side of things, you do hear, you know, it's not necessarily, like, you follow the good manager, because, like, you know, the person makes a world of a difference for your job, you know? So, like, oh, when you find a good manager, like, stick with that manager, or because so much of that does influence an employee's productivity and, like, their experience. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, symbiotic relationship, as much as we try to, like, I feel like, separate those things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, to your point, it's, the people were great. Like, my team, everyone was so, you know, smart, like, you know, very, like, they were great to work with, my team, right? But that's the thing, it's like, we're not necessarily working together, because we're responsible for our own. Quote-unquote business, brand. We're responsible for our own brand, our own retailers. So it was more like just chatting with them through problems or, you know, venting and, like, kind of, like, relieving some of that pressure and stress. So that was, like, so the people were great, but I think it's not, at the end of the day, you still feel disconnected. First of all, we're in the pandemic, so mm-hmm. we're all working from home. I've never met these people, like, only through, you know, Teams.
And yeah.
So there's, you know, there's just in those moments of, like, oh, like, just frustration. Yes, you know, we would chat each other on the side and stuff, but I don't know. I guess for me it was, like, tough yeah. that, like, there wasn't, like, a physical presence.
Right.
You know, and yeah, yeah.
What were you hoping would happen at this company or at your job that wasn't happening, that you needed? Like, what was a change you needed for it to work for you?
You know what? I think I knew it wasn't working. Like, I knew it wasn't going to work for me. Because then I realized, even when I was at L'Oreal, I was like, oh, I'm done with kind of the 9-to-5. But I had taken on this role because it was a sure thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I spoke to the person. I got through interviews very quickly because, you know, I was coming from internal and it was a big asset. So mm-hmm. it was COVID. We had just bought our home and we were mm-hmm. in debt. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I need to work. Mm-hmm. Let's get to work. Mm-hmm. So I took on the role, but I knew in my heart, like, this was going to be a grind, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, grading. So mm-hmm. I think I kind of made up my mind already yeah. once it was very difficult day to day, like, and feeling hopeless. I kind of made up my mind, like, oh, nothing is going to make this better. Mm. And that's why, like, I quit, right? Because mm-hmm. I felt that way. Like, I felt like,
yeah,
you know, don't get me wrong. I think if I... Maybe had I accepted that, or maybe had I committed to, you know, let's do this for mm-hmm. X amount of time, mm-hmm. then, you know, it might have been a little, you know, different. I think it was, yeah, I think. So let me go back. Mm. I think I held on as long as I could to the role because, for one, my one goal was to get out of debt, mm-hmm. right? So once we hit that, as soon as we were able to net zero, I was like, okay, I'm out.
I'm done. I did my part.
And, like, I've been speaking to my husband about this, mm-hmm. like, he has seen, because we're working from home, he's seen me crying, like, you know, don't get me wrong, like, mm-hmm. it sounds like, you know, I don't know, looking back, I feel like, I guess it wasn't that bad, because now time has passed, but being in there, it was unbearable, like, emotionally draining.
Yeah.
Like, now that I have had time off and time to reflect, like, I feel like refreshed. I feel like maybe it was COVID, pandemic, mm-hmm. the pressure, just, like, you know, the imbalance of work-life balance, mm-hmm. and, you know, not being able to socialize with friends and family.
What was causing you to cry? Like, what was the hard part of, like, what was... Yeah, what was, I guess, triggering those strong emotions? And because, like, earlier I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe this is just not a fit for me because I need a more relational dynamic and I can't just produce. But it's like you were, like, struggling, just the day-to-day was just, you were just not happy. Mm. Like, what were, like, some of the specific things happening that led to these moments?
First of all, we would have super long meetings. Like, those are so
people, shorten
draining.
Your meetings.
Please, please.
Or have an agenda, a clear purpose.
Right. Like, it was painful. Like, we would have meeting after meeting after meeting and then expect to get our work done on a timely manner and answer all these emails and get answers quickly. And, you know, we're between a client and a supplier and even, I'm sorry, there's even a creative team and, you know, and then approvals of multiple levels.
Right.
So that's very, I think for me, I like the nimbleness of, that's why I love autonomy, because we can make decisions. Like I can bounce ideas off of like maybe three people and we could make a decision versus right. the endless meetings, the endless iterations and the power dynamics and...
What about the power dynamics?
I think just from my perspective, I'm going to speak from my perspective, you know, there are some people who want to, like everyone wants to be heard, right? But some people who do have the authority to make decisions, sometimes, you know, they will want to see like all the iterations before making a decision, even though there's like a tight timeline and budget and things like that and considerations like that. So it's like, I kind of saw that there was a lot of ego at play, not necessarily, but that was just my perspective. Mm-hmm. And that may not be true. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I would see that and feel like we're just trying to get this done for you. Like this is, you know, for the business, like let's do this together. Let's work collaboratively. Like,
but it felt adversarial.
It did. Mm. It did. It felt very like, one team versus another, and like, it was, that's what made me very like upset, because it's like we're just working together to get to this common goal. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm gonna preface, I am sensitive, so you know, seeing like people kind of argue, even though it's like professional kind of arguing. It sucks, you know, it sucks to like experience that or see that and witness that or be part of the argument or, you know, what have you. So, yeah, I mean, I just want, I'm idealistic, right? I just want everyone to get along and let's get this job rolling. Let's get it done. Like, let's get to know each other and understand each other, be empathetic towards our circumstances. But at the end of the day, like we have deadlines. So, let's try our best, you know? And I understand if you can't get to something, I understand. So we have a little leeway. Mm-hmm. Like we would have, let's say we have a lead time of 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when things are at the last second, it's so hard for someone to execute, but it's all on me, all on us, the team, to make sure it is done regardless of... Mm-hmm. when the client has made their decisions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I knew. I was like, some people are cut out for this and I am not. Like, there's a breed for that and that's fine. Yeah. And I think I was, you know, I was fighting with myself. Like, I wanted to be that person to get through this and like be, I don't want to say combative, but I guess argumentative for what I believe,
like
was
put on that role of like, okay, I can handle this too.
But you know, I've always heard I'm too nice, and that's because like I just want everyone to get along, kind of thing.
Sure. And but like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that.
What should we be, you know?
But you know, like I know that there's other people or personality types that, you know, they love to debate and they thrive off of a debate. And, you know, and that's fine too. Like,
and what's hard about that is like, those are the people who get the spotlight and who move ahead.
You know,
or like, it's like the loudest person at a restaurant, for example. You got some really bratty customers. But you know what? Like, the louder they are, the louder they express their dissatisfaction, the more the restaurant, like, usually, I feel like a good restaurant will accommodate. And it's like,
it's true.
Teaching such bad habits for people.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a big one. Like, like we're enabling them to continue making decisions later and, like, making iterations later. So, yeah, we were, I've heard a lot of that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with either side. I think I just came to accept, like, oh, this is not my forte.
Right.
And that's okay.
I think that's also, I think, I you know, I really appreciate you being tactful and diplomatic And at the same time, I do feel like that. I don't think most people thrive in that type of environment. I think even my last company, that was so the case. And so many people felt that way. And there too, like tears every day. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of turnover because people were just like, can't do this, you know? I just, and from hearing what you're saying too, it does sound like unrealistic expectations. How do you expect someone to be in a meeting all day, be on top of emails at the same time, respond to a client at the same time, have the time to do the work that actually needs to get done? It's like, A, I'm only one person. There's only so many hours in the day. So like mathematically, it that too also just doesn't make sense, you know, which is, I think, where you do see the people working like past working hours into like 10, 12 in the morning. Why I need to always be on? And then it's like never ending.
Yeah.
And then like to your point where you're saying like now I look back and feel like, oh, maybe it's not so bad because you said I'm rejuvenated now. I needed time to rest, you know. Yeah. And I think that is the key. Like we're all human and, you know, having our time and space to do that. And I'm sure there are people who grind out like that. Maybe some people are built for that, or maybe some people are not even aware of like what's happening, like they're degrading but not even realizing it.
Yeah, like their body it's like they're keeping that all in and they're going and going.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I love that point you made, because there I was convicted for a very long time, like no one should be working and operating this way. No one. No one, not even CEOs. But I'm not a CEO, so who am I to say that, right? But I just felt like that was immoral. Like, you know, people need rest and relaxation and time to enjoy. If you think about European cultures, like they have a lot of time off, like versus the US, you know? And then you hear about mat leave and, you know, siestas and like breaks. It's so important, but like that is not promoted. And, and it sucks because, you know, it's like if your leaders or, you know, just your peers are working overtime, overdrive, over the weekend, and on their phones, on their emails, like you kind of want to catch up. You kind of want to be with, if not, you know, faster, you want to at least keep up with that pace.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's a good point.
That's not, that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Like, there, I don't, I just don't believe that people are meant to work that way. You know, like we need time to, we need space and time. Like we need time to rejuvenate, spend time with our families, like spend, like just, I don't like the greed. I don't like the greed of like, not, I'm not going to speak on this industry, but like corporate greed in the sense of like, hurry, hurry, we have to make money and we have to beat the competition. We have to, you know, whatever that is. Like, I just don't like the greed.
Yeah.
It's like, let's enjoy each other. Like, you know, let's just, like, this is life. Like, we're all here together in this time period together. Like, let's make the best of it. Like, yeah, some people will definitely work harder than others, and great, like, you know, kudos to you. And, you know, some people will be slower. Don't condemn them. Like, people are, we are all at our own pace. Like, we operate differently. I tell my husband, like, we have different OS, like, operating systems. Like, you know, and that's fine. Like, it's not, you're not right, you're, I'm not right. Like, no one's, it's not like a right wrong thing. It's just, we operate differently. And that's when I realized, like, oh, this is why culture is so important, work culture. Like, if the work culture is such that everyone is working on Sundays and weekends, like,
that's a red flag. That's a problem.
Unless you thrive from that, unless you like that, then by all means, yes. But for me, I'm I realized, like, very clearly on, like, no, work is not my life. My career is not priority. Like, don't get me wrong, I do have huge aspirations and dreams, but I think balance is necessary for, we're like, we're beyond just our titles and, you know, man, it's hard. It's like we're more than just like our impact on the world. Like,
oh, yes, please elaborate on that. Yeah.
I think like, you know, we all want to make an impact. Like we all want to, well, I'll speak for myself. Like, you know, I really do want to make an impact on this world and make this world a better place. I want to make money, of course, you know. But when it's at the expense of others and of myself and health, like, I don't see that being worth it. And this might be just the season I'm in right now, but I really believe, and I felt like that, I guess, for, you know, while working in corporate, like, work life, I don't like saying that, but it's like, let's, oh man, like, you know, family time, friends, like, when you read those interviews or see those videos of those, you know, grandpas and grandmas, like, giving advice, like, spend more time with your kids, your friends, like, go to that soccer game or whatever, you know, they say stuff like that. Yeah. And I believe that, because what you really, I think it really, like, hits hard when, you know, someone you know is impacted, like, their health is impacted, or when someone passes, that's when I feel like we all get a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Like, oh, life is so short. Like, am I, like, just kind of wasting away working towards, you know, making sure these displays go in Walmart or, like, you know, like, as important as that is to, on, you know, independently, like, yeah, I just felt like, like, my relationships matter. My health matters. You know, the health of my dog matters. Like, all these, like, you know,
more. Oh, I love that you said that. You know. I think that's what we missed. And that's part of the Great Resignation, as it's being called now.
Yes.
And one article that I read was that it's, the words they used was tone-deaf companies not paying their employees well or not treating them well and being toxic. And these are people standing up saying, I will no longer, like, put up with this because of what you're saying of, you know, maybe not exactly these words, but, like, life is too short. And also, like, what is life, you know? And that they really, I think, COVID, because lots of people were dying and people are surrounded by the finitude of life, that it really did, I think, give people some pause to say, like, why am I here? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of my life? And when you do experience a death or someone's ill, you kind of, like, wake up a little bit and sober up and you're just like, what am I doing? So, yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because that definitely hits home. And I just feel like that is what a lot of people have, you know, realized for themselves, too. And some of them have said, you know, I will take a pay cut for the sake of my well-being. And even I've had some friends where, like, one friend in particular, he rarely saw his kids. Like, maybe he would put them down to bed or, like, maybe just breakfast. But then now they're in the pandemic, like, he was able to work from home and he saw them regularly. And he's like, I'm never doing this commute and, like, seeing my kids once a day thing. And, but yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what is, you know, for some way of, like, the hard things during COVID, I think it was a great pause button almost for a lot of us to say, to consider our lives.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a reset button. Like, what, like, I love that. What is life? You know, it really, I think, like, the mass population really questioned that, you know, or, you know, asked themselves that. So,
and it's telling when it's not like, I, like, you know, if it's like, oh, just, I just felt this way, or maybe just this one other person felt this way. But when it's like droves of people, like, that's something to kind of pay attention to.
Right.
There is a systemic issue happening here. This is not just a one person thing or mm-hmm. a particular company. This is like rampant mm-hmm. because of the amount of people who are leaving their job.
Yeah.
So I know for when someone, and you in particular, you know, when you decide to quit, I know it wasn't like, okay, I'm quitting, I'm done. It was kind of a lead up, a process to finally like pull the trigger mm-hmm. and then to do it. Like, what did the process look like for you to finally like pull the plug and say, I'm done?
Well, I think I, you know, spoke with a lot of, spoke with within the team, with like leaders, with people outside, friends, you know, friends and family, their experience, what their thoughts are and what I'm sharing. And, mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's like a lot of, you know, like I said, it was a lot of back and forth, like you're going to be a quitter, or like, you know, you're going to leave your team. Like that was internal in my own head, but you know, you're abandoning your team when it's like rough. Like, you know, I just felt like a soldier and I didn't want to abandon, like, you know, mm-hmm. like this is, yeah. So there was that part that like kept the guilt going. Oh my God. And that takes a toll on the, you know, on the mental health, right? Like it was rough. So, but then I guess a lot of it was like planning with my husband, like planning, like defining, okay, what do we want? What does it look like? Like, can we, what about finances? Like, will it work? Because he was very supportive. Like he's not one to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But I think witnessing, thank God we were working from home, because if we were in office and he probably wouldn't have seen me crying and like going, you know, suffering. Mm. But like luckily he was there and
he witnessed the tears. He witnessed for himself.
And he would sometimes hear these meetings because I would put it on speaker, like, you know, I would put it on speaker. And but yeah, I think the planning portion was, okay, number one, finance, because I'm doing this job for money right now.
Sure.
It's not my passion.
Yeah.
You know, and I took it on. It's a pandemic. We're nervous about finances. So financially, can we do it? And I think, you know, for a while we're like, let's try to have a nest egg first before considering quitting. I was like, okay. And like, you know, we would have these talks. And then, you know, I think just one leader in the team, who was on the L'Oreal team previously, he would be very encouraging because he would give, you know, he would say, well, what kind of role would work, and, you know, things like that. And it made it more clear, like, that, you know what, I've tried, like, different roles, and I'm no longer interested. So, you know, I was just like, but that helped me, like, in the planning process. Like, he would be explaining, or they, you know, the team or leaders, this is, you know, where we could head. Even me, like, I would speak to people in the L'Oreal side, or just, you know, within my own company, like, what do your roles look like? Mm-hmm. What are your day-to-days look like? Mm-hmm. I was pretty proactive in that, you know? And I just didn't find myself wanting that for myself, and not wanting to spend my time, finite amount of time doing that. Mm-hmm. So the planning portion, I guess, was just, you know, chatting as much as possible so that I wouldn't regret the decision of quitting.
Right. You know, like you did everything you could, like, wanted to leave.
Making sure, like, is there another role?
Right.
My leader at that time, when I first told her, maybe you need some time off, because I hadn't taken time off, and she's like, maybe you need some time off. But time off isn't time off. you come back to 1,000 emails. To catch up on everything,
yes. Right.
Or, like, you're busy, like, you're anxious at your vacation or time off, worrying about your business because it's your business, right? It's like, so, but it's, but it was my business, but it didn't feel like it. Yes. So it was like, you know, so there was that. I considered it, like, maybe I need, like, a week, two off, maybe. But, so, yeah, I considered that. And, you know, I even took off time, and one leader was saying, take off time, and if you want to come back, let me know. And I was so grateful because, you know, they gave me that option, that freedom, to really rest. Because then there was no, you know, I felt like, you know, I could really rest and maybe consider again.
It's interesting because it seems like they're supportive and trying to work with you. But at the same time, the working environment itself wasn't working. Like,
Yes. Yes. I will say they were supportive with what they had, with the tools they had. Like,
but they were also the ones driving the demand?
It was more, I guess, it was client, like, client-based. Like, the demand was of the client, but it was of, but it goes hand in hand. You can't really separate that, right? So,
So, so, you realized it was time to go because no matter what the role was, you're just like, I'm not interested, which was an indicator for you.
And then there was going to be another restructuring. Oh, so that's what also helped because there was another, there was going to be another shift. And I was like, I can't wait any further to see if this shift and this reorg will work. So let me, just let them know so that they can plan accordingly, you know? And I didn't want to, like, drag them along either. Yeah. And, you know, I think a couple of coworkers have told me, like, who have quit before me, they were like, it's not that, you know, yes, it's, like, definitely quitting, but it's also giving someone else an opportunity to get a shot at it and get, you know, like,
maybe someone who might like it
more aligned with it, more excited about the role. So I was like, that made me feel better because it was like, if I don't appreciate this role, I'm not fit for this role, if I'm struggling with this role, then, like, why not give someone else the opportunity? Like, I think I felt peace with that, you know, versus, like, the inner dialogue of, like, you're abandoning your team, leaving.
That's more palatable.
So,
so now that you left, it's been, you know, several months. The bell is tolling. I guess, what do you feel now after you've left and about your decision?
I'm very grateful. I think I'm just so very grateful that I can even make that decision, you know? And, like, if I think about my, the previous generation, like, my parents' generation, did they have this option, this, you know, there's a lot of that guilt, right? And that I'm working with through, and I continue to work through, but I'm more at peace because they're not in my shoes either. I'm not in their shoes. We won't understand until we're in that, right? So, so I'm just very grateful that I can choose to take this time off and really reflect and, you know, work through inner healing and work through and explore, okay, what do, what are my values? What do I align with? What is my purpose? You know, I want to say passion. I've been trying to stay away from passion now because I feel like for, you know, for a long time I've struggled with what's my passion and, like, it's been a struggle, but rather than passion, I want to say purpose and, like, you know, defining it like, okay, it's to empower people, to inspire people, to love people, to share kindness and compassion. Like, I feel like those are values that I want to stick by, and whatever comes out of that, like, then that can be my passion, you know, that will turn into my passion. So, so yeah, with this time off, I've just been like, you know, learning to take care of my things, take care of myself, take care of like my family. And I feel like I wasn't doing that at all, which I felt guilty about, you know, which was, again, taking a toll on my mental health. Cause I was like, I'm such a bad wife. I'm such a bad dog mom. Like, I'm such a bad daughter. All these things. Like, I couldn't take care of anything. I felt
because you had
like,
no energy and felt like you're neglecting the people that you love around you.
Yeah.
What is something that might have, like, in you has come to life now that you, you know, have some space that wasn't able to be alive during that time?
I guess, like, at heart, I feel, like, you know, childlike. I feel silly and... You know, in like in a corporate setting, like I feel like you can be in certain situations, but I personally felt I couldn't be like myself, like be silly, be creative in like kind of the ways that I wanted. You know, I like tinkering with, you know, things, so I just feel like that part of me, I have space. Like, I remember learning about, like, how Picasso's, like, schedule or whatever, like, he would allow himself a lot of time to just walk and think and reflect. And I'm about that. Like, you know, like, I need that time and that space because that's where creativity thrives. And, you know, we're all creative. Every single person is a creative person inside. So I think... that, you know, I'm like kind of exploring that side of me. Whereas before I felt very like rigid and I still feel kind of like I'm still exploring my creativity and what my craft will be. But I don't, I'm realizing I don't have to define it. Like I don't have to, it's very fluid right now. So yeah, it's that. Been, I've been like dabbling. But yeah, I think just slow living too. Like, I've been kind of adopting that. And
What is slow living?
It's just like, oof, like cooking slowly, cleaning slowly, mindful breathing. Like, I guess it's pretty much being present. I think all the time I was like anxious and looking forward and looking towards deadlines and looking, you know, for the next thing, for, you know, the next event, for whatever it was, right? It was like not being present. So I think I'm learning what being present is. And don't get me wrong, there are days I'm like, oh my God, I have to get out of here. I have to like run a mile a minute.
Sure.
You know, I'm still like, there's still a part of that in me. And, you know, my husband and I always talk about how I have to exercise because I have like a lot of this energy. And if I'm not... doing anything, I could get really...
It's pent up inside of you.
So
that's a good point.
But, so yeah, just like being present and enjoying, like, you know, like understanding who I am and enjoying that, I guess. Because I feel like a lot of times there was a lot of criticism, self-criticism, and for others too. I mean, like, if it bleeds, right, everywhere. So, yeah, I've been working on inner healing with that and, like, having a better inner voice. So, it's been good.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, and, of course, I can speak personally to this because you're my friend, but, like, I even see there's such a, you know, a lightness to you, you know, I think several months out from that job now. You know, and so many of our conversations revolved around work, and it was just like this cloud over you.
Like
a brightness and a lightness to you. I feel like the church bells are telling us to wrap things
up.
But we will wrap things up, and you know, just the final question will be, you know, what would you tell your younger self?
Wow. So yeah, I thought about, you know, I reflect on that question a lot because it's like that. You know, I don't want to, like, say, like, there aren't any regrets because it's, like, it is what it is, right? It's, like, life, you know, happens. And I guess I would say, like, you know, like, what I'm doing now, like, spend time with yourself and getting to know yourself and your values and being able to advocate for, like, learn to advocate for yourself, whatever that looks like. Like, I'm learning boundaries. So, you know, I guess it's like, invest in therapy, invest in self-exploration and, you know, and that's, I think that's a major thing. Like,
almost like giving yourself permission.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think it could look self-absorbed if you're just constantly like thinking about yourself or wondering. But for someone like me who has always considered others, other people's feelings and needs before my own because I'm like a little sister or, you know, my upbringing or what have you, you know, it's like put others first before yourself. I think I took that too far, and so I think it's important that I learn boundaries to not be taken advantage of and really, you know, advocate for myself, for others who are going through that as well, like who can't speak up for themselves, like advocate for people like that. I would say, that's, therapy and, you know, boundaries. Learning, you know, self-love, all that, I think inner healing, like, all about that.
I love it.
Yeah. Mental health is key. Yeah.
Well, we will wrap there.
Yes.
That was so good.
Thank you.
That was a good combo.
Thank you.
Charissa.
Oh, thank you.